Luke chapter 11 here, verse number 1. And we'll take a look at here, and our message has been preaching here on Sunday mornings and our consideration of the kingdom. We want to take a look at something that the Lord indicates here and that we need to be praying for. And in consideration in the scripture where he admonished folks about this particular point, this particular subject. Here in Luke chapter 11, verse number 1, the scripture says, "And it came to pass that as he," that it was the Lord, "was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive every one that is indebted unto us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." I want you to quickly turn over here to Matthew chapter 6. The Lord also here on the Sermon on the Mount instructing about this, and he wasn't, as in the case there in Luke, asked about it, but it was just part of what he was preaching and teaching there in that day. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 6, the Lord says here, the scripture says here, in verse number 5, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray unto thy Father which is in secret, that thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Here, the Lord giving the model prayer and instruction, and back in Luke 11, you can go back to there, the Lord giving instruction about prayer, and he's not giving a prayer to pray, per se, but he's giving an example about it. There's not any special power in these particular words that the Lord uttered here, because our lives are going to involve more than this, and we're going to have much more to pray about as we go through life. You're going to have particular things about your life that you're going to need to pray about to the Lord. Why do we pray unto the Lord? Is a prayer a little package of words that's special that gets the job done? No, the power of prayer is in the one to whom we pray. And we're petitioning God. If you had a flat tire and you would come pray that I would help you, you're just asking me to help you. And that's what we're doing when we pray. We're going to the Lord and we're asking him to work on our behalf or on the behalf of someone else. And so the Lord gives instruction here about prayer, and that's not our subject for this morning, but just one point here that we want to see that he, in both of these passages, there on the Sermon on the Mount, his instruction to his disciples there in Luke chapter 11, he mentioned this point, and here in Luke 11, we see it in verse number 2, "And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy kingdom come." We want to take a look at this about the coming of the kingdom unto you. The kingdom has come unto you. We are instructed here by the Lord that we need to pray for that. And we've seen in the different messages and different aspects of this consideration of the kingdom, you know, we've looked at that there is a kingdom of God or of heaven or of Christ. I believe they're one and the same. There is a gospel of the kingdom that's preached. There is the who of the kingdom that's on this earth now. And then we took a look last time about how to be great in the kingdom. Well, we want to take a look at here what the Lord says that we should be praying for as his children, that his kingdom would come. That it would come and be manifested and come with observation and to be established. That is happening, and it will ultimately happen in the end. And how it is that the kingdom has come unto each and every one of us. The kingdom has come unto you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day, your blessings, your goodness towards us. We thank you for the past week and the way you blessed in all things that we pursued. And Lord, you just blessed in the Vacation Bible School. We thank you for each one that came. And we pray, Father, now as we meet together to worship you, I thank you for each one that's come. Lord, for the membership, for those of our families that are always with us, for visitors that have come. We thank you for each and every one. And Lord, we pray that you'd speak to us. Lord, speak to us through your word. Lord, help us that we might worship you and lift up your holy name. And Lord, just work in our midst as you only can. For any that are here this morning and not saved, we pray, Father, that you take the word and Lord, make it powerful and effectual. And Lord, work with the Spirit that they might see Jesus Christ precious to the salvation of their souls. Lord, that they might know the forgiveness of sins through him, and that and he's the only way by which they can be forgiven, that he's the only way by which they can have eternal life. And Lord, he's the only way by which they can have a surety of salvation and rescue by you. We pray that you'd help and bless and work in that. For we that you've saved, Father, help us that we would be about the business that you've given us to do, Father, and that we would carry the witness and the word and the example and the things that you tell us to take and do and live and carry to folks round about us, Lord, that it might be a witness of the coming of the kingdom unto them. Help now, we pray and bless. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Turn over here to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Here the Lord Jesus Christ, he's had his disciples with him for a time, and now he's going to pull out a group from amongst the disciples for a special work, a special thing that he's going to have them for. They're going to be witnesses of his ministry. They're going to be those that are going to write the New Testament. They're going to be those that are going to stand up and even, for the most part, be martyred for his sake and the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ and those things that he gives to his church. They're going to be those used of the Lord in this transition time of the keys of the kingdom going from the nation of Israel over to the Lord's New Testament Baptist Church. And we see here his instruction of them. In Matthew chapter 10, verse number 1, let's read. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who he called Peter, and Andrew his brother, and James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Labius, and whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and to any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely as ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses for this particular trip, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. Into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. And when ye come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust off of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, and for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. And when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not go on over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house, that is the Lord, Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in the darkness, that speak ye in the light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall to the ground without your father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whoso shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And the man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. And he that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. The Lord here is preparing these 12 for what they're going to face. And in our lives, and of course that he's sending them on a particular mission, and that's the focus of this passage. All the work of the apostles, the carrying of the gospel, the healing that the Lord blessed them to be able to do, the stand that they took for the Lord, even in their own towns, amongst their own family, amongst their friends. Remember, Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, they left their daddy's prosperous, going very well fishing business. They knew fishing, and they took that and they left that. No doubt there were those that marveled, why are you leaving such a necessary thing? People have got to eat. And there needs to be fishermen. I mean, that's when young people are considering about, a man is considering about a job to take, it does well to look around in the community that he lives to see what kind of jobs are there that a man can work and get settled into and that. Of course, you need to look for the leadership of the Lord, but it's wise to do that. And there are those fellows, they left all that. The ministering they did and the travel that they did while they went with the Lord, and they saw they were with the Lord in all of his temptation, as he said, and all of the ministry, and were a witness of his death, were a witness of his resurrection. And everybody that they come in contact with, and all these things that the Lord told them and prepared them for, it manifested what it says in verse number 7. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When the apostles were sent by the Lord, and they did go, and they had different lives and different people and different souls and different ones that they touched, the kingdom of heaven was at hand. The message of it, the witness of it, the citizens of it, the children of it, they were right there and they were a witness to it. You know, as we're going to see here, and this passage is speaking to about the apostles, and there are things that we can glean from it and apply to it to our own lives. Some of you know how it is to stand for the Lord and take a stand for the Lord, and it put you, as the Lord said, put you at variance with your family. For some of you know what it is to take a stand for the Lord, and it cost you a better job that you could have had, but you said, no, I'm not going to take that kind of work. I'm not going to do that kind of job because I'm going to miss the service of the Lord and His church. There's all kinds of different things. Some of you know how it is to try to be a witness for the Lord amongst those that you work with or your family or your neighbors, and they reject it and they turn it down and they don't want it. And so then what happens many, many times is they begin to speak evil. And you've not done anything evil. You've had a desire for their souls. The kingdom of God is coming to you. To them. You that are here this morning and not saved. You that are here this morning and maybe wayward from the Lord. The kingdom of God has come unto you. Every time the Word of God is cracked open by one of the Lord's preachers and it's preached, every time one of the Lord's churches meets and there are those that visit and come and are not saved or wayward or what, the kingdom of God, it's come unto you. It's come near you. It's come nigh unto you. Let's take a look over here in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. I'm sorry, Matthew 12, forgive me. Matthew chapter 12. I got cross-eyed there on my notes. Matthew chapter 12. Take a look at this. In Matthew chapter 12, verse number 9, and when he, that is the Lord, was departed thence, he went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? That they might accuse him. They want to trump up another charge against the Lord about working on the Sabbath day. And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into the pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then saith he unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held counsel against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold my servant whom I have chosen, behold my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased, I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. And praise the Lord for that. Amen. And he shall not strive, nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. This is speaking about the Lord. A bruised reed shall he not break. That's talking about one of them cattails that when you've been down there fishing and you've been thrashing around to try to get into that good fishing spot, and you've kind of cranked on it a little bit, and it's just barely hanging on there, and you see the sap coming to that place. It doesn't take much to push that over, does it? Well, that's what that's talking about. The Lord Jesus Christ came that meek, that lowly, and that gentle. Okay? It goes on to say here in in verse number 20, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. That brush that you burn and some of that stuff, the poke salad and stuff like that that's out there, the poke stuff that grows up and that hollow shaft stuff, and you set it on fire and it grows and it burns up rather, and it's there and it's just very, very fragile, and all you got to do is go and it goes away. That's that smoking flax. He wouldn't even upset that. That's how the Lord came in comparison to how he is going to come. A bruised reed shall he not break, a smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him, insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. And the people were amazed and said, is this not the son of David, the Christ, the Messiah? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils, or by Satan. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? What kind of sense does that make? You never had an army that went forth to fight that would shoot its own soldiers or compromise its own soldiers for the sake of trying to win the battle. That doesn't make sense. That never happens as a strategy or on purpose. Verse number 26, and if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. He said, there are some cases that your sons and your children cast out devils. And if I do it by the power of Beelzebub, what the Lord's saying so prolifically, so many times, without fail, he got every case brought to him, and every case that he went to, he did cast them out, and they did not come back. If I do it that much, and I'm doing it by the power of the devil, then what about your children? For sure they are, huh? He says, they'll be your judges. Verse 28, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, or as it says over in Luke, in verse number 20, he says, but if I with the finger of God cast out devils, what's he say? But if I cast out devils, verse 28, by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. The miracles of the Lord, the working and the power, the preaching of the Lord himself, the manifestation of the great goodness and all those attributes of God that were completely and totally manifested in Jesus Christ. His great power and glory that was restrained as he became a man and walked amongst men. And everything that he did, everything that he spoke, everything that he pursued, everyone that he healed, he said, the kingdom of God has come unto you. It witnessed it. The kingdom of God, like the expanding, if you will, the taking over of the kingdom of God, it was like it's going farther and farther out as the Lord and the Lord's people and the apostles, and as they give testimony and witness to it, and it's come near you. It's come near unto you. And if these miracles, these casting out of these ones, this healing on the Sabbath, he says, understand. In verse 28, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, or as it says in the other gospel, by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God is coming to you. You know what? The apostles didn't have the New Testament that we have. These people here, they didn't have the New Testament that we have. And you know what? As the accounts of these things that took place with the disciples, with the apostles, with the Lord, as that goes out, as it's preached, as it's read, as it's heralded forth, the kingdom of God has come unto you. Yeah. Hear it, and believe it. In Luke chapter 10, in verse number 1, here we saw earlier about the apostles. Now here there are 70 that are sent out. They're sent out two by two. And just a side note, would the Lord send disciples out that were not in His church? He wouldn't, would He? He wouldn't. And I tell you what, my inclination is that these 70 that are sent out two by two, it doesn't tell us specifically, but at least one of each pair is a man. And it's just that way. That's the order that the Lord has set. Likely they were two men. That would be my expectation. But even if it was as it was, those that the Lord met on the road to Emmaus after His resurrection, the Scripture bears out that was a man and his wife. But they're sent out two by two, and there's for sure at least one man apiece. And look what the Lord says to them. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two by two before His face into every city and place whither He Himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. That's talking about us, isn't it? This is more landing in our lap, more landing in our life and where we find ourselves today. Go all your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs amongst wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And to whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. And if not, it shall turn to you again. Kind of like what he told the apostles. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. You hear that? You hear what it says there? The kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But in whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you heareth me. And he that despiseth you despiseth me. And he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, Listen, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them, listen, unto babes. Now these 70 that the Lord sent out and the instruction that he gave them and their return and their excitement about it all and the Lord's further teaching them about rejoicing about their names being written in heaven, he says, Father, I thank you that you've revealed these things unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. It goes on to say, and he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which shall see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard. Here the 70 are sent out. And it's more along the line of where we live today. And the Lord gave them instruction. He gave them a mission to do. And as the Lord's given us in his church to do so. And they went out and they were excited about it. And they came back and they were excited. The Lord taught them more. And then the Lord thanks the Father. You revealed this. These things that prophets and that kings want to see. You revealed them unto babes. That's us. We're these babes. Anything good that we understand from the Lord and understand out of the Word and understand out of the Scripture, it is the Lord revealing it unto us and blessing us with it. And understand what the Lord said to them as he sent them in verse number 9 and verse number 11. He said, And heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, The kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. And of course, we don't do miracles. There's no need for miracles today because we have the Word of God, the full counsel of God that he wants us to have. But into whatsoever city, verse 10, ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. When we go out, and we're a witness of the good things of God, the Word of God, the salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto those that we have engaged. It happens by us. And the Lord said it so Himself. In this thought of the kingdom coming unto us, or the kingdom coming unto people that we encounter, I want to remind you of what the Scripture says and the Lord said in the Gospels also concerning children. The Lord says when we go out, when His people go out, to those we engage, the kingdom of God comes unto them. The Lord also says in Matthew chapter 19, verse number 14, but Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me. What did He say? He said, we're like babes. That we, even adults, are like babes, and the Lord reveals these good things unto us. He's saved us and He's made us His own. And He says, as He looks on the little children, in other places they were brought to the Lord little children, and He said, suffer the little children to come unto me. He was displeased that the apostles would keep them away. He said, forbid them not. In Matthew chapter 9, consider the compassion of the Lord as He looks on at the multitude. In Matthew chapter 9, verse number 36, verse 35, and when Jesus went about their cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people, but when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Suffer the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven, of such is the kingdom of God. He sees the multitudes. It also says in Mark, and in Mark chapter 6, and Jesus, when He came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And He began to teach them many things. You know, it says in Isaiah chapter 53, we that are saved, we know this, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've everyone sought to his own way, right? But praise God. But the Lord laid upon Him the iniquity of us all. You know, we need to get our station, our position, our place before the Lord right. He's revealed these things unto babes, and He's called us to do this, and yet He has compassion upon sinners and those in need of spiritual life. He's got compassion, and we need to have compassion, and we need to go, knowing that when we go and when we witness and when we carry the good Word of God, that that is the Lord's operation of bringing the kingdom unto those people that we engage. I tell you what, we've got a great calling, brothers and sisters. We do. And remember what the Lord says in Matthew chapter 11. I want you to turn over there, and I know I quote it often, but it's just such a great, great passage. In Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28, the Lord says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. The kingdom of heaven comes unto those that the children of God are a witness to, that the apostles were a witness to, that the 70 were a witness to, that the Lord was a witness to in the day of His ministry, that we are a witness to in this day, in the ministry the Lord's called us to in this church. The kingdom of God comes unto folks. And then that the Lord looks on at people and those of the world, and He looks on us as little children. He commands that you that are here and not saved, that you have faith in Him, that you come as a little child, that you humble yourself. He looks on at the people and at the multitudes, and they're as sheep having no shepherd. And that's the way we are. We're wayward indeed. And the Lord says, the kingdom's coming to you. It's a witness to you. Do you see that you're laboring? Do you see that load of sin that's wearing you down? Do you see that load of sin that's killing you? He says, come unto me. Come unto me. The kingdom has come unto you. And in that, the Lord in his word says, for little children to come unto him. Become as a little child and believe him. The Lord is compassionate towards sinners. And all that come to him, he says, he'll nowise cast out. We are indeed like sheep, and we have all gone astray. And again, the Lord says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Consideration of the kingdom. The kingdom's coming to you. Whether you want to admit it this morning or not, the kingdom has come unto you. Are you ready for the kingdom of the Lord to be established? Are you ready for his kingdom to come? Remember what I've read several times in Matthew chapter 13. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdoms all things that offend of them and of them which do iniquity. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Without the Lord a Savior, there is no part in the eternal kingdom. The kingdom has come unto you.